if we can't humanize the data, destinations aren't going to understand it, and they're not going to be able to tell stories with it. Bringing this together is long-term going to be super healthy for the destination industry. And for me, it's really rewarding because it's allowing me to help destinations tell amazing stories and actually back it up and figure out how to do, not only what to do, but probably more importantly right now, what not to do.
Today's episode is brought to you by Relic. As many of you know, I own an advertising agency called Relic, and we work specifically with tourism destinations. If there's any of you that are struggling with what to do next, or you've tried agencies that don't specialize in tourism, or if you've been using the local flavor for years and years and you're just looking for something new, I would say give us a call. Give us the opportunity to take a look at your plan, see what you're doing, use our tourism knowledge and industry specialty to examine everything from your brand to your tactical execution and make recommendations of how to help. We'll do that assessment for free. We'll give you those recommendations for free. And if you like what we say, maybe you can hire us to execute on those plans. So kind of a risk-free opportunity to have us take a holistic look at everything you're doing, provide some recommendations, and you can kind of see us in action. If you're interested in having us do something like that, please send me an email directly at adam@relicagency.com. I would love to set that up with my team. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. Got a great show for you today. You know, we are back in the office. We're not on the road like we have been for the last several weeks, and I've got a great show planned for you today. Our guest today is from a data company that we're going to talk all about today. His name is Darren Dunn, and he's with Entrata Insights. Darren, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here. I'm jealous that you've been on the road for the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, and you know, we might even get into how you may have helped me inspire that little road trip that I went on. But you know, before we get too far into the episode, I want to ask you a couple of these icebreaker questions we like to ask at the beginning of each show. So first question is, if you could go anywhere in the world, Darren, where would that be?
I haven't explored South America all that much. I did go to Peru last year, actually this week last year. So probably Patagonia is tops on my list, and Easter Island as well.
So Patagonia has been a popular answer here on the show, and looks like an amazing place. Yeah. I'd love to know what draws you to that. And I've actually never heard of Easter Island, so I want to get into that a little bit too.
Well, it's with respect to Patagonia, it's really the mountains and the outdoors that really attracts me to going there. So I grew up in Montana, grew up in the great outdoors on a ranch, the whole works. Spent a lot of time in Glacier Park and the mountains of Montana and hiking. And so that's what really draws me. And Easter Island, it's also called Rapa Nui, and it has the distinction of being the most isolated island in the world off the coast of, I want to say, you know what? I don't know. Off the coast of South America. It's the one with all the giant stone heads that are in the ground.
Well, we'll all have to jump on a map after this and find Easter Island, Rapa Nui, and because I'm not totally sure either. But, you know, I feel like I've learned a little bit about you here, Darren, that while you're a people person and you're very engaging when I've talked to you before, you kind of like your space a little bit, don't you?
I do. You know, I'm actually in the process of moving to the Salt Lake City area right now from San Francisco. And one of the big draws, besides that's where headquarters is actually the ability to quickly get up in the mountains.
Well, as a resident of the area, I can attest that you're going to enjoy it here for sure, especially if you like the outdoors and the ability to get away.
Yep. Can't wait.
Well, good. I think that's a great answer to the question of what's your dream destination. Let's talk about, you know, one of the trips, and I know you're well-traveled, Darren, so it's hard to narrow it down, but one of the trips that you've been on that you had a really great time that stands out to you.
Probably one of my favorite places in the world is New Zealand for all the reasons I just explained. I love the outdoors. The people are amazing. The culture is fantastic. I've had the luxury of going there 8 or 9 times for work and also gotten to take a week or two to just enjoy the country on my own. So
awesome.
And the other place probably I mean, Africa, certainly going to Kenya and South Africa. There's something about Africa that's just bewitching and so different from our existence here. And it, you know, it is the outdoors, but it's a much different outdoors. Everything's bigger and can kill you there. So I guess yes. that adds to the adrenaline.
So your two favorite trips are a country with zero predators and a country with the scariest predators, it sounds like.
That's actually a great way of looking at it.
that's good. You like safety, but you also, you know, you like a little bit of danger in your life. That's good.
Well, part of New Zealand is actually the adrenaline part. So, you know, that's where they invented bungee jumping, the jet boats up and down the rivers, whitewater rafting. So it's a different adrenaline there.
Yeah, New Zealand has always been on my bucket list. I'm a little bit afraid of large predators, so Africa's a little farther down the list for me. But New Zealand has really always stood out to me as you know, they've got every season there. They've got, you know, really high mountains. They've got beach experience. They've got the best fly fishing maybe in the world.
Yep.
And it's all these amazing things packed into one relatively small country.
Yep. You know, 2 weeks or less, you can see the whole country. That's what I love about it.
Pretty amazing. Well, that's a good answer too, then. I'm glad you've gotten to visit those places. When you were in Africa, did you have any uncomfortable experiences with any of those large predators?
I did a cage dive with the great white sharks. That was a little startling to have those big predators coming up, literally biting on the cage.
Wow.
So that was an encounter. We did have a number of large animals coming into camp at night, from lions and those type of predators to elephants, etc. So there's always guys 24 hours a day that are keeping those animals at bay for you.
Wow. Africa may have just moved even farther down my list after hearing about these large animals coming into your camp at night. Well, good stuff, Darren. It's fun to get to know a little bit about you and what drives your travel decisions. And we'll talk a little bit about today about the research that you've done on what drives travel decisions. But I want to have our audience get a little bit of an insight into your background. You know, you went from growing up on a ranch in Montana to being in a tech company. That seems like a long journey to go from growing up on the ranch in Montana to running a tech company.
Yeah, it is a long journey. And I have to preface that it was a hobby ranch in Montana, so I don't want to put our land in the same classification of the thousands of acres of ranches that are around there. So
you weren't living the TV show Yellowstone up there.
I did. Actually, we had horses and cattle, and I spent most of my time working on other ranches every single summer. So,
Wow.
And winter many times. So,
you definitely learned hard work.
Yeah. You know, going through this pandemic and trying to keep employees and coworkers motivated, you know, it's when they get anxious about something, I'm like, listen, nothing's going to die today if we don't get this done. And when you grow up working ranches, if you don't get up and do your job, something can die. Crops will die. You know, animals will die. People's food will go away. So that's really where you get the work ethic from. And working in the tech world, it's nothing's going to die today if I don't get a PowerPoint done.
Well, tell me about that journey. Tell me what led you to where you are today.
Yeah. So I left Montana around 20 years old, and I started a tech company back in the late 90s with the first .com boom. And that company was an online advertising and promotions company. And we were lucky enough to sell it right before the crash.
Good timing.
Yeah. And to a larger advertising company in New York City. And during that time, I got an odd phone call from the state of Louisiana. And they said they were interested in doing some online advertising. I had never worked with the Tourism Bureau before. So I thought, well, heck, I'll take the money. I remember it was like $32,000. But not insignificant. And so what was very interesting about that time is their state director at the time, a guy by the name of Philip Jones, he convinced the state legislature to count somebody visiting the webpage as an inquiry. In the entire industry back then, that was the key measurement for success, was measuring inquiries. Most of the time, that meant people calling 800 numbers or stopping by welcome centers to pick up guides. So it was all about how many guides you sent out. And once Philip convinced the state legislature to count somebody visiting the website as an inquiry, next thing I know, I got a call and the state wanted to spend $650,000. And I thought, huh, tourism. This is interesting. And then another state changed and another state changed. And, you know, I fell into this path of working both in the online tech world as well as tourism. And there was literally every conference. There was not a, there was one other guy at the time. He worked for Travelocity that was actually chasing online advertising dollars in tourism, but it was pretty easy pickings there for a while.
Wow. Wow. What an interesting way into the industry. I've heard a lot of stories about how people got in. Yours is a pretty unique one.
It was made more unique because I went to my first tourism conference in 2001. It's called Southeast Tourism Society. And we had the conference and I flew home after that conference. And the next day, and home then was New York City. And I flew home the next day and 9/11 happened.
Oh, wow.
And it was interesting because when I went to the conference, I knew I was on the right career path. I love the people. The people seemed a lot like the folks from where I grew up in my home. I just felt, you know, because I'd sold into auto and pharma and all these different industries, but tourism really spoke to me. And I was just like, okay, this is it. I found my calling in life. And 9/11 happened, which made us all rethink a lot of things back then.
Yes.
And about 2 weeks later, I was actually in my office and I got a call from a guy named Chuck Benelli from Southeast Tourism Society. He's like, hey, Darren. He's like, this is Chuck Benelli, Southeast Tourism Society. And I said, hey, Chuck. He goes, we've all been so worried about you. And he goes, we've all been talking about you and we just want to make sure you're okay. And I thought I was really touched by that because I met this person one time and I won't go into the whole story, but somewhere in the conversation, he said to me, he goes, well, what are you going to, because I had spoke on stage at STS about online and tourism. And he said, so what are you going to do with this whole tourism strategy you just talked to us about? And I remember a few expletives kind of went off my brain and that I said out loud. And I said, Chuck, there's tanks on the street right now. I don't really know. And he's an old Army guy. He said to me, he goes, Darren, he goes, listen, I'm going to give you some advice, take it or leave it. He goes, but if you choose to stick by tourism during this time, tourism will always stick by you. And I literally hung up the phone and knew what I was doing the rest of my life.
Wow. Wow. That's an impactful experience there. And it's something that I've seen in the industry too, even like this, and we'll talk about COVID today, right? But
sure.
Even in COVID, I think I've seen a lot of people in the industry coming together during this, more collaboration than I ever saw before. Destinations that may have even struggled to work well together, coming together. And it really is amazing how well people work together in this industry as opposed to other industries that I've been in the past.
Right. That's been one of the few ways everybody's been able to get through this thing is everybody's really is working closely, collaborating, listening, trying to learn how to handle this because nothing has prepared us for this. 9/11 or the downturn, nothing has looked like this.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about, so you knew you were going to be in tourism. I know that at one point you had a stint at Adara, right?
Yep, sure did. I spent 7 years at Adara and I conceived and brought to market one of their measurement platforms, which is called Impact. And then another one with one of my coworkers, Dave Ballman, we conceived and brought to market a product called Market Monitor, which is a forward-looking predictive product there.
Great, great. So you are at Adara for 7 years, and Adara is one of the biggest names in the tourism industry. They've been on the forefront of a lot of innovation that's happened in the industry, especially with digital marketing. And as you mentioned, some of those products that you specifically worked on. And you go from kind of the juggernaut in the industry to starting this company, Entrada Insights. Tell me what led you to do that, and then let's talk about Entrada, because it is the technology platform that I am the most excited about in the industry right now, and I want to really dive into it today.
You know, I just had run my time at Adara. I felt like, you know, it was the last 2 years there, 2017 and 2018, I literally flew over 300,000 miles a year, and I was working on some really big projects, like working with Japan's tourism entity for the upcoming Olympics, working in the Middle East with Abu Dhabi and many other clients out there. So it was a lot. And at the end of 2018, going into 2019, I knew I had worked my last year at Adara. And if I was ever going to work that hard again, I was going to do it for myself. So that's...
I can relate to that.
And our co-founder at Entrada, Jay Kinghorn, he was one of my clients at Adara. And I, with the utmost respect, say Jay was one of my most challenging clients because he knew too much. And so whenever we had new product testing or we're rolling out new features, Jay's the one I would have really stress tested.
Because if it's good enough for Jay, it's good enough for anybody.
Right. Zeke Coleman's another one out of Savannah. I would always go to him as well. And so over the holidays in 2018, I was talking to Jay, and Jay was actually thinking about starting his own consulting firm. And in March of 2019, I said, listen, I know how to come up with great ideas, but building something isn't my forte. Sales and marketing, that's my thing. And I asked Jay if he'd be interested in forming a company together, because I'd rather own half of something that's absolutely spectacular and very impactful for the industry versus just having, say, a small consulting firm.
Got it.
So that's how we got started.
Got it. Well, you know what? I want to dive into your product. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll jump back in.
All right.
Okay, guys, since we started the Destination Marketing Podcast a little over a year ago, I've had several destinations reach out and say, hey, could you help me start a podcast? And at first we were kind of like, well, no, that's not really what we do. But after enough requests, we said, you know what, let's explore this. And we've created a turnkey program for destinations where we will produce, we will host, we will edit, and we will publish your podcast for your destination on a weekly, biweekly, or monthly basis. And all you have to do is show up and answer some questions. We're really excited about this program. We've got a few destinations that have been doing really, really well with their podcast. And if you've ever thought about creating a podcast for your destination, but you don't have all the equipment or you don't have the expertise or any of that type of stuff, let us take that off your hands. Let Relic handle your podcast creation and production. And all you have to do is show up and answer questions about all the amazing things there are to do within your destination. So let me know if you're interested. Email me at adam@relicagency.com and we'll get you set up on this podcast program. So Darren, as an advertising agency that serves tourism destinations, I have really worked hard to procure what I think is the best technology products to offer the clients that fall within my range of expertise, right? So, you know, the New Yorks of the world, those haven't really been my clients, or, you know, San Diego. You know, we work with a lot of small to mid-level destinations. And I feel like there's a big gap in the industry as far as technology goes. I've been on so many different demos with, you know, there's data companies out there who will just help you gather the data from your visitors. And then there's others that are more like an attribution tool. And then there's others that will do different pieces of it. And when I went through the demo with Entrada Insights a couple weeks ago, my eyes got super huge. And I said, oh my gosh, this is all the different things that I've demoed, but in one platform. And that's what got me really excited about it, because you would have to pay two or three different vendors to be able to get the comprehensive data set that you guys are able to offer destinations. So I'd love to, and by the way, we haven't done any business together. This isn't like a paid endorsement, right? Like this is, I have seen your demo and was blown away and was like, we've got to talk about this on the show. And so I would love to have you just give us the general overview of Entrata Insights, why you built the tool the way you did, and what you feel like it does for destinations.
Well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate the kind words. you know, in 2018, when I knew I was going to move on from Adara, I really spent I spent the year listening to all the various pain points, whether it was with very, you know, large destinations like Dubai or Japan to, you know, smaller destinations like Provo or Vacaville, California. So, and the pain points were almost always the same. And that's that for the past 7 years, everybody's been told to be a data-centric organization. The problem is there wasn't really any center to be centric around. So you have, you know, the sales department, and they have all of their data and their CRM, and you have the marketing department, which, you know, has all their various tools and plans, and you have other departments within the bureau or the city government, all with their own data sets. And so getting at the truth, having one source of truth within an organization, was really difficult, because there was nothing that could actually bring in all of those different things, especially offline data like tax data and STR data. And how does that help steer your compass in terms of what the cause and effect of your organizational decisions? And so that's really what the impetus of the platform was, to create one source of truth. And then one of the other pain points was certainly people had a really hard time doing storytelling around their data. And so we needed to create something that actually brought all that together and made sense out of it, so the whole community could begin understanding what the value of the DMO is. And so how does the DMO better communicate their value to police, to fire, to economic development, parks and rec? They all didn't understand necessarily what the value of the DMO is. And about this same time, there were certainly winds of change in the tourism industry that were blowing. And that's solving for pain points such as things like over-tourism and really beginning to focus on more community values. How do you actually build a visitor economy while still creating a very good living experience for your local community? Because at the end of the day, if the mayor's going to get voted out, you likely aren't going to get your budget. So.
Yeah, I think those are great points. You know, as somebody who has to demonstrate two types of performance in any DMO, one being marketing and making sure that we're spending the money responsibly and effectively and that we're seeing a return on investment. And then the other is using the data creating a report to show, hey, I'm doing a great job for the residents and stakeholders of this community who have entrusted me to market the destination. And your platform provides both. So let's dive into the platform and talk about all the different data sets or modules that there are. And then let's get into a couple of use cases. For example, I really want to talk about what Hattiesburg, Mississippi did and how you guys were able to help them with some of the problems they were trying to solve. So let's head down that path.
Sure. From the very beginning, we really wanted to build out a platform that focused on destination management and creating something that could create intelligence as a currency that the DMO can give back to the community to show their role is much bigger than just room nights. And so we had to ensure that we could bring all those different things in there so that a CEO could quickly look at some top line highlights and know exactly where his room nights are. How is it compared to STR? Where are the people coming from? How much are they spending? So by bringing in all the different components of marketing data, again, as well as offline data, and then truth-based that, and what the ultimate measurement is, which is the tax data. So how much money is coming back into the community from these tourists is the resident being able to keep an eye on resident sentiment and ensure that the community is happy, and then be able to communicate that currency out in a way that means jobs for the community. So actually measuring things like hospitality employment, which is so important right now. So there's modules built about around each and every one of those. No one person in an organization, except for maybe a research person, would really be going into all the individual modules. We've really built this to help inform decisions and communication for the C-suite within a DMO. You know, marketing, of course, has all of their various components. We've also tried to help inform decision-making around sales as well. So where are your best leads coming from? Where should you be focusing? Along with what I like to call a little bit more clunky data. So we just had a call the other day where a destination wants to overlay crime data to better understand where visitors and crime are coming together, or if they actually are at all. Traffic data. So if there's a lot of compression happening, this is, you know, it's a super big issue, and especially in your mountain destinations right now. Yes. So, you know, is your marketing and advertising causing a lot of compression, not only with things like traffic and the environment, but also obviously during these times, the residents don't want a ton of people visiting. So we're literally taking a lot of these data sources that have actually existed for a while, but we're bringing them together to help the DMO better tell its story to the community and focus on actually being able to manage that destination, giving them situational awareness so that, you know, they can make decisions today and take actions tomorrow and stay ahead of the, before the politicians come after them for certain destination management issues or the press starts knocking at the door. We want to have this awareness ready so that they can communicate it in a way that's going to be beneficial to obviously the DMO, but the community at large.
Well, this is where it gets really interesting for me, because there's been a lot of talk in the industry over the last year and a half or so about the transition that needs to happen from a destination marketing organization to a destination management organization. And I feel like your platform basically gives a destination all the tools that they need to go from marketers to managers of the destination.
Well, I appreciate that coming from you, because especially working with small communities, I think making sure that they're aware of their impact on their communities and having that marketing component along with the different management tools to communicate out is super important. And I, during these times that we're in right now, you know, I think the winds of change I spoke about with around destination management and things like over tourism and resident sentiment, visitor sentiment, I think those would have typically on a tourism timeline that probably would have taken 5 or 6 years to become important KPIs. And all of a sudden with COVID, they've become hyper important. So managing, yes, really using marketing to help manage how visitors interact with those communities has become critical. They are a critical part of helping manage what's going on right now while still trying to get the economy back on its feet.
Well, Darren, tell me a little bit about how your platform has maybe helped a couple of the destinations that you're working with get better during COVID and navigate this situation.
So I'll give you an example. We worked with a small community in Mississippi called Hattiesburg, and we worked on a project with them last summer to better understand who their visitors were. So it wasn't just the DMO, but it was the mayor, the mayor and all departments, the chief of police, the fire chief, waste management, et cetera. Everybody was involved in this conversation and wanted to understand, okay, if we are going to increase tourism by 4% each of the next 4 years, what impact does that actually have on the community? Let's run numbers. Let's bring in all the data sources we can to understand what it looks like if we increase the visitors by 4%. And further, economic development was involved because they not only wanted more visitors, but they wanted more visitors to interact with their downtown area, which is really the heart and soul of their community. And they're trying to attract new restaurants and potentially residents to come live in the downtown area. So beginning to understand how they can potentially attract people that are going to an SMU football game and get them to go downtown versus to the TGI Fridays that's right near the university there. And so by pulling year over year data and visualizing that and then expanding it by 4% to understand what the economic impact would be was just, it was extremely important. And you have literally when you have waste management that's sitting there at the table, it's like, what is a 4% increase over each of the next 3 years? What does that mean for the pipes, especially during events and festivals? And where does, you know, how many more police officers do you need to get on the street? And in this case, now it's actually, how do we have events in the future and how do we spread those events out? I mean, I hate to be crass, but it might involve actually changing where you're placing the porta potties to pull people away from large areas. I mean, it's that's how the DMO is actually getting involved now to help manage the visitors that are coming these days. And so, and they can really do that through marketing and potentially having the sales department focus on smaller groups, small and medium sized businesses versus large conventions, which I don't think will come back for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in there because one of the things that you and this is specific to the Hattiesburg example, because you showed me this when we were doing our demo, is that you can literally see the actual visitor flow. So where did these people come from? What market did they come from? And when they got there, where did they go? Like, let's say they were there for a festival, which I think it was an event that you were showing me when we did this demo, that you could actually see what parts of the event people from different markets visited. And, you know, you touched on the idea of where to place the porta potties. Your data actually helped decide where to place those porta potties, right?
Yeah, it did, because it was able to show compression during a particular festival. And again, try to understand how to get those people instead of compressing them all in this one area. How do you spread this out into a larger area that's going to be a lot more beneficial to other business districts around the city? And how do we pull people away from the main freeway corridors that are going there? And again, get them into these areas, understand where they're coming from, what they like, where they potentially want to place marketing in order to get people that not all of the people they are attracting like the same thing. So that compression's there. But how do we get people that likes different aspects of this community? How do we highlight those aspects? So again, it's a great resident experience as well as a great visitor experience.
Awesome. Do you want to share with us another use case of how a destination has utilized your software to make important decisions within their organization?
I do. Sure. I'll actually talk about Aurora, Colorado, and they've been super progressive in how they've used data to better understand their city. And actually,
we've had them on the show. Great guest.
Oh yeah, great. With Aurora, this is kind of a real time example because, again, they're trying to figure out how to get people outdoors and how are people using their outdoor product. They're known for their parks and their rivers and their waterways there. They have a lot of opportunity to expand the capacity of restaurants by using many of their outdoor spaces, working with local restaurants to build out and onto the sidewalks so that they can still stay in business. And one of the things they did recently, which I thought was just fantastic, was they on Colfax Avenue, which, to be fair, has some blight issues in certain areas, they pulled in all these amazing artists and they did huge murals on the sides of the building. And the DMO, as well as the arts department there at the city, worked together to promote these buildings and actually create a walking tour for people to come experience these art and celebrate their cultural diversity that they have there in the city. And what we did was be able to really keep an eye on where all these murals were and how is visitor behavior. And this be visitors defined as people from the nearby metro area. How did they come and interact with this particular area and actually get to be outdoors and visit businesses that visitors don't normally come to? And so we were able to measure that and tell that larger story for the city. Again, just the promotion of the cultural diversity, creating an outdoor event, improving an area of the city and getting people to interact with it in ways that they never have before. And so helping destinations tell those stories using data to back it up, it helps everybody in city government.
Well, that's another great example. And they're able to create a new amazing event, understanding how it impacts the community. I love that. I think a fear that I would have if I was listening to this episode is that sounds like a lot of data and a lot of information. Do I need to be a data scientist to be able to interpret all this data that you guys are providing? So, I mean, how easy is this to use?
It's very easy, actually. We have a team of analysts run by Ezra Calvert, and she spent 9 years leading the research team in the state of Virginia. We just hired a young lady named Katie Stadius, who's done a lot of great work with destinations across the country at her last company, MBI. And so working in the destination industry for 20 years, we know that they aren't running too heavy with data scientists that are able to actually extract this data and pull it out. I mean, sometimes you've got to hire the mayor's nephew. I mean, that happens. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
sometimes whether you like it or not.
Right. And that's there's some truth to that one. So we wanted to make things highly intuitive. And I always said from the beginning when we formed this company, if we can't humanize the data, destinations aren't going to understand it, and they're not going to be able to tell stories with it. And therefore, we don't have a long-term business on our hands. We don't have a scalable business on our hands. So it's really humanizing that data. And that's where from the management piece and the marketing piece sitting together, all of a sudden the story becomes very human. You're telling a story about cultural diversity. You're telling a story about bringing beautiful murals to the city of Aurora. You're figuring out how to improve different business districts around town by targeting different types of visitors that might enjoy different types of product. And so it's bringing this together is long-term going to be super healthy for the destination industry. And for me, it's really rewarding because it's allowing me to help destinations tell amazing stories and actually back it up and figure out how to do, not only what to do, but probably more importantly right now, what not to do. And so just at Entrada, we've put together such a great team. Jay and his team over there have developed a product that does just that. It does data storytelling. It humanizes things. And we've been lucky. Got to do a quick shout out to my CEO, Sarah Lehman, who joined the company this past February. Her leadership has really allowed Jay and I to really focus on the customers, and by him building a great product and me really out there figuring out, you know, what is it they need? What are they missing? How do we help them easily be able to tell their story, whether you are a two-person organization or you're a 100-person organization.
Great stuff. Well, Darren, tell me where you're headed. What's next for Entrada Insights?
Well, with the pandemic this year, what's next has been, okay, how do we survive? thankfully, we took on some funding last February. And, March and April were, and May, June, it was all pretty tough.
July.
Yeah, right. All pretty tough months. So it's, you know, once we were able to get back out there from a sales perspective, and Dave Ballman, who I formerly worked with at Adara, came on to help with sales. And we, you know, jumped in an RV, we drove across the country, we met with 42 destinations. And what we found out was that really, we have created the right product at the right time. It might have taken 5 years to, again, really get the industry's arms around the management piece of this and how do you measure it. But we found that the product's resonating. And so just continuing to grow, ensuring we don't grow too fast. And, you know, I can't give too much away, but Jay has some, amazing enhancements he's doing to the platform, which I think are going to be game changing this coming year. So we've, from an R&D perspective, we just got to stay as far out ahead as we possibly can. And from a sales perspective, we just need to force ourselves to get out there and talk to people. I'm sure, as you know, Adam, it was really tough when you're not able to get any kind of customer feedback during those, especially those really bad months.
Yeah.
And so now we're out there. And again, I feel like it's a chance to collaborate with people in a healthy way, and understand what their needs are so we can help them navigate in this volatile environment we're in.
Yep, totally agree. And I love that you guys took that trip and met with 42 destinations. You know, that when you and I talked about that, it kind of inspired, hey, let's get out of this office and let's get out and meet with people. And had such a great time on my trip on the road. And we hit Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, and it was just such a great trip and inspired by you. So thanks for that inspiration.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. But we work in a very human industry. And I think being able to go out and connect with people is extremely important, even in the current environment. So making sure you do that safe. But it's also cathartic. We all need each other right now.
Yep, absolutely. Well, is there anything I haven't asked you, Darren, that you feel like our audience would need to know?
No, I think we're pretty well covered.
We covered it.
I'm sure I'll think of something in 10 minutes. But
well, no problem. How about if people were intrigued by what they heard here today, how do they find you?
You can go to EntradaInsights.com or you can find me at darren.dunn@EntradaInsights.com. Or you can follow me on social at Entrada Insights on Twitter, or follow myself personally, which is WheelsUpDDD on whatever platform you're looking at.
Nice. And it sounds like there's a story behind that Twitter handle, but we're going to save that for another day. But it's D-U-N-N. So
yep.
Darren and D-U-N-N. Darren.dunn@EntradaInsights.com, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Darren, thanks so much for coming on, sharing your insights and experience with us today. I'm excited about your software, and I think we've just scratched the surface on what Entrada Insights is going to become in the industry.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate what your company's done in the industry as well. So keep up the great work over there.
Thanks a lot. Well, everybody, this has been another great episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please make sure you leave us a rating or a review. That really helps us to continue to climb up in the results and search results within your podcast platform. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week.